Amen. All right. Well, hey, as you guys heard me say, we are once again going to be in our final study, three studies on Trump and the Paradox Prophecies. And this one is just simply a light and airy topic, just called Trump and the Transhumanist Kingdom. And you're going like, what? What kind of a title is that? Well, folks, this is what I need to expose to you, and we expose in the documentary, is Trump is not just surrounded by technocrats, but every single one of those guys on that screen is also a full-blown, powerful transhumanist. Every single one of them, tit for tat. Okay? And again, we deal with this in great detail in our latest documentary, Trump and the Paradox Prophecies. Again, we entitle it, why paradox? Because that's what's going on. Trump's doing some good things. I'll give credit where credit's due with what's going on with the economy and gas prices and all that stuff for most of us around the United States. But guess what? Paradoxically, he's doing some things that are advancing in what I call turbo mode many Bible prophecy related issues. And one of them is the coming transhumanist kingdom. And I say that because all those guys you saw in that picture, if they get their way, now having direct access to the White House and Trump's ear, they are going to fulfill another prophecy that's a sign that Jesus is getting ready to come back. They're going to turn us into non-humans. And that's what Jesus said would happen before he came back at his second coming. It's called the repeat of the days of Noah. I didn't say that, Jesus did. Open your Bibles to Matthew 24. That's our opening text. Matthew 24, we're going to take a look at verses 27 through 29. And of course, Jesus is speaking. And just to give you a little bit of time there, Matthew 24. Matthew was written by Matthew, you biblical scholars. Give yourself a golf clap. Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. What did Jesus say was a clear sign that he's about ready to come back? Now, again, as we saw last time, the coming he's talking about is not the rapture. It's his second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation. So the action point for you and I as a Christian is, wait a second, if we're seeing things line up for this prophecy sign as a sign Jesus is getting ready to come back at the second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation, and we leave prior to the seven-year tribulation 7 years earlier at the rapture, woo, we better get motivated. Because the rapture is near. But here's what he says, the days of Noah, Jesus speaking, Matthew 24, verse 37. Here's what he says. As it was in the days of what? Noah. Now again, last time we saw the days of Lot. Now let's get into the days of Noah. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be, not maybe, not might. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So again, last time we saw the days of Lot prophecy. Now Jesus said, here's the second sign. He's getting ready to come back at the second coming, then the seven-year tribulation. You're going to also see a repeat of the days of Noah. So just like we saw last time, all right, days of Lot, this time days of Noah. What was going on in the days of Noah that we could expect to return to the planet again before Jesus comes back? Well, let's do the homework, and you find that homework in Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 7. Here's what he says. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, fallen angels, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The what? The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God, the fallen angels, went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air. Why? Because I am grieved, God says, that I have made them. So why did God judge the planet the first time with a worldwide flood in the days of Noah? Because he was grieved. He was grieved not only because of Matthew 24 says of a lackadaisical attitude towards the coming judgment of God. Yeah, whatever you wackos, I'm just going to eat and drink and be merry, and I got work to do and all that kind of stuff. And yes, because they also, it says they were thinking evil all the time. And by the way, both of those signs are here today. But it was that other one, the big one, It was the hybridization of mankind, basically turning humans into non-humans that the Bible calls Nephilim. It clearly says it there. Okay, and I don't know about you, but it's a good thing that we see no signs of humans being turned into non-humans, if you will, modern-day Nephilim. Folks, again, I do this all the time. It's called sarcasm to make a point. It's a teaching technique. Are you kidding me? Folks, I'm telling you, this is the first red flag that went off my radar when Trump got back into office the second term. He's not just surrounded by technocrats. I've done deep dives for many years in transhumanism. Every single one of these guys are not just technology moguls, billionaire elites, okay? They're all transhumanists, every last one of them. I'm going to expose them today. And you might be going like, okay, you've said this many times, transhumanism, what is that? Well, let me define it for you. For those of you who don't know, transhumanism means this: the belief that humanity needs to transcend, hence transhumanism, transcend our so-called current limited physical, mental, and spiritual conditions and evolve into higher advanced beings through science and technology. In other words, that's a fancy way of saying they want to create a new and improved hybrid race of humans. But it's not hyperbole. I'm not making it up. They have their own terms for it. Now, they're not going to say, hey, we're going to create a modern-day Nephilim. That's a little too obvious. So this is what they call it. I'm not joking. It's called neo-humanity, human 2.0, augmented humanity, and even a post-human species. But here they are admitting that's what they want to do to all of us, whether we want it or not. Watch this.
2045 to 2050, drastic changes in social structure and in scientific and technological development. All the prerequisites for space expansion are established. For the man of the future, war and violence are unacceptable. The main priority of his development is spiritual self-improvement. A new era dawns. The era of neo-humanity.
We once believed knowledge had a ceiling, but the ones who see past that barrier are forging a new path. A world where AI sets us free from the mundane so we can chase what truly matters. They're not afraid of being replaced. They harness technology to become more, weaving unstoppable curiosity and fearless empathy into every moment. This is Human 2.0, proving that when we embrace what's next, we discover an even truer version of ourselves.
Rapid advancements in technology. We are on the cusp of a new era of human development, where people can enhance their physical, cognitive, and sensory abilities beyond what nature intended. The possibilities are both exciting and daunting. As we enter this brave new world, what will it mean to be human? And at what point do we stop being human altogether? By working together and engaging in thoughtful and inclusive conversations, we can develop an ethical and responsible approach to human augmentation that benefits all of humanity.
I want to talk to you today about the future of our species and really the future of life. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens.
Okay. The words there, we are probably the last generation of Homo sapiens. That's not just freaky. But folks, this is a fulfillment. This is a repeat of what went on in the days of Noah. This is what's going on whether people realize it or not. And whether Trump realizes it or not, he is surrounded by these guys who want to do just this, hybridize mankind, us, into non-humans. Again, they call it neo-humanity, human 2.0, augmented humanity, post-human species, whatever you want. Obviously, they're not going to say Nephilim because we would catch on and freak out. But this is what Jesus said would happen right before he came back in the end of the seven-year tribulation, his second coming. Now, I want to add a fifth term because most people don't connect this one. Transhumanism, called basically their movement to repeat the sin of the days of Noah, Genesis 6, the Nephilim issue, again, hybridized mankind. They not only use neo-humanity, human 2.0, augmented humanity, post-human species, but watch this. It's also what's behind the term the Great Reset. We dealt with this in four documentaries, and most people have finally caught on that the Great Reset is a one-world government taking over the planet, Klaus Schwab and the gang. Agenda 2030, Fourth Industrial Revolution, that it's also, they're going to be a one world cashless society around the world. They're going to biometrically tie you into it. Most people have caught on to that. But the Great Reset isn't just talking about the same guys who want to do all that stuff. The same guys not only want to reset the world with a one world government, one world economy, which the Bible calls out, but they want to reset humanity. All those guys are also transhumanists, and they admit that the Great Reset, you will change, meaning you're not going to be human anymore. Watch this on tape.
It's at the end. What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, right. Just as an example, it's you who exactly. are changed. Yeah. And of yeah. course, this has a big impact on yeah. your identity.
When you began to do that kind of gene editing, some people worry that you are changing what it means to be human.
Exactly. What it means. What are we talking about here, folks? It's on tape. The Great Reset is also the term they use to describe not just neo-humanity, human 2.0, augmented humanity, post-human species, but it also is what? Their desire is to reset humanity. When they're done with you, you're going to change. You won't be human anymore. What is this? This is a repeat of the days of Noah. They just changed the term with modern terminology, okay? And believe it or not, these guys, like Klaus Schwab and the gang, they believe that it's their duty and that they're somehow doing us a favor. I mean, after all, they're the elites. They're more powerful, got more money than you and I ever will have. And so it's their duty as the new gods on the planet to improve mankind with their science and technology. And again, that's not even hyperbole because they say all the time they do believe they're the new gods on the planet. Watch this.
As the fourth industrial revolution looms on the horizon, a new religion emerges, that of scientism. Masquerading as materialists and atheists, the prophets of this new creed cry out in the town square of the coming age of transhumanism, when man will finally become like gods.
In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities. I'm quite confident that we will gain a lot more power in the coming century, which will solve many of the problems that now bother us. So, what will become of us? I think that we will become gods. We will acquire divine powers of creation and destruction.
Even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods.
We should get used to the idea that we are now basically the gods of planet Earth. We have now divine powers of creation and destruction.
The next big projects of humankind will be to overcome old age and death, to find the keys, the secret to happiness, and to basically upgrade humans into gods. This is why the title Homo Deus, God-man.
Total blasphemy, total rebellion, exactly like Satan. Folks, this is, they're saying it out of their own mouths. I mean, it's just arrogance. They're the new gods on the planet, and it's their duty to remake us into something, who knows what, that they think is better than God's design. It is the same evil, satanic desire that caused the fall of man that led to the judgment of the days of Noah, right? This is where it comes from. To be like God, that came from Satan, folks. That tells you who these guys are working for. Genesis 3, 4 through 5, you will not, Satan says to Eve, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so in the beginning of creation, Satan used the lie to cause the fall of man that you can be like God. And by the way, that caused his fall, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. He wanted to be God. But here we see in the last days that he's doing it again with all these transhumanists that are completely surrounding Trump with the same lie, that they're the new gods on the planet. And it's their duty to hybridize mankind out into something non-human. It's exactly what happened in the days of Noah. And Jesus said, you can see a repeat of that right before he comes back. Now, of course, they're not going to come up and say overtly again, hey, we're going to turn you into a non-human, if you will, a modern-day Nephilim. Most people would freaking run. So again, these guys are masters of word salad, and they just try to make it more palatable, right? They don't say Nephilim, they say human 2.0. That sounds better, doesn't it? Just give yourself an upgrade, like your phone, right? But they also say, if you let us genetically modify you, it's going to give you something super. In fact, they call it the three supers. Let's take a look at that. The first one, they say, is it will give you a super well-being, right? And who wouldn't want to have that? And what they're talking about is they say, once we get done with you, they're going to get rid of all suffering, and you'll have super health. It's just going to be this wonderful utopia. But here they are pitching it on tape. Watch this.
The fact is, we remain shackled by our primitive Darwinian brains. And so, what begins as humanism, our most sympathetic understanding and treatment of human nature, becomes transhumanism, the drive to fundamentally revolutionize what it means to be human by way of technological advancements. Changing human nature might be the most dangerous idea in all of human history, or perhaps the most liberating. We'll examine three central areas of transhumanist thought: superlongevity, superintelligence, and super well-being, dubbed the three supers because of their extraordinary transformative potential. Let's look at the last section, which deals with the issue of well-being. Imagine you're soon to be a parent. Your doctor informs you that, if you wanted, you could choose certain features of your child's biology. You could choose how genetically prone to depression they will be, their levels of anxiety, jealousy, anger, and even their pain threshold. Would you choose a high likelihood of chronic depression, an intolerably low pain threshold? How about panic attacks and anxiety? Probably not. The last major branch of transhumanism, spearheaded by philosopher David Pearce, aims to investigate and phase out suffering. This is why Pearce argues that if we ever hope to increase the well-being of our species, we will have to edit our genes. Minimizing our suffering, and the suffering of those we care about, is a crucial part of what drives us. Hence, so-called abolitionists argue that we start using modern technologies to do exactly that, minimize and eventually abolish suffering, ushering in an era of so-called super well-being.
Hey, I mean, who couldn't use a little bit of less suffering, right? The only thing left out on that list was they were going to get rid of chicken, which that's would help for me to suffer less, but that's just a side note, maybe one day. But what's the, what are they, well, this is their own promo video. What are they saying? Just let us genetically modify you with our science and technology. Man, it's going to be super. You're going to have super well-being. Your health's going to go off the charts. It's going to be awesome. In fact, let me get more specific, and this is from their own publications. This is called the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies, and let me quote to you what they say. This is pretty wild, okay? And here's what they're so-called promising with their transhumanist technology. Here's what you do. Here's your new life. You enter the wellness center, and you tell the receptionist avatar that you're here for an annual restoration, and though your real age is 110, you would like to be restored to 20 or something. What? Yeah, and he said, quote, a nurse then injects billions of genome-specific bots non-invasively through the skin, and hey, you're set for another year. The above scenario may sound like science fiction tale, but experts predict it's going to be turning this fantasy into reality very soon. Doctors would not only use these nanobots to correct problems like heart disease and cancer or damages suffering from normal aging processes, but could also direct them to strengthen and enhance other parts of your body, right? They could restore aging bones and muscles and your eyesight and teeth to a perfect biological state. And when finished, quote, these smart bots would exit through the urine. Isn't that fancy? And with this improved nanobot capacity, watch this, it would allow a person to run at full speed for 15 minutes without ever taking a breath. No more huffing and puffing, and you could even sprint faster than a horse. Other applications will eliminate tumors and remove circulatory obstructions that cause heart attacks, prevent brain damage and stroke victims, and they predict that this technology will appear in clinical trials by the mid-2020s, that's called right now. Repairing faulty DNA, getting rid of disease, preventing heart attacks, strokes, running at full speed for 15 minutes. You don't even take a breath. You're running faster than a horse? Hey, that's starting to sound like a superhero. Don't have time to get into that, but that's another thing. Propaganda from Hollywood. Basically, that's what they want us to wish to be, a superhero. I wish I could be like Tony Stark. I wish I could be like a Captain America, you know, get injected with this stuff and become instantly fast and sprint faster than a horse and have super strength. And yeah, it's called propaganda. And that's not by chance either. But that's what they say. If you just let us genetically modify you, man, we're going to give you super, super well-being, super health, okay? But that's just the first one. The second one, they say, we're going to give you super intelligence. And for those of you who are watching online with somebody beside you, especially if you're married, don't look left, don't look right. Look straight at the screen. Because who doesn't know somebody that could use a little boost in that department? But we won't go there. I don't want to cause our first church split at church. Get a life church. But anyway, but seriously, I mean, can you imagine having super intelligence? I mean, a mega upgrade. In fact, I use that word on purpose because they say here is the level of intelligence that is coming. And I quote, super intelligent humans are coming. Genetic engineering will one day create the smartest humans who have ever lived. Now, watch this. This is from their own camp. If combined in an ideal fashion, this could lead to individuals with an intelligence that is higher than anyone has ever existed on Earth. Quote, crudely speaking, we're talking about IQs over 1,000. Now, some reports say a genius is at 160. Some say 140. But let's say 160. These guys are saying over 1,000. Wow. They say that means we can imagine super intelligence maximized and present all at once, allowing for perfect recall of images, languages, super fast thinking and calculation, powerful geometric visualization, even the ability to execute multiple analysis or trains of thought at the same time. Quote, the list goes on. Well, I'll just say this as a side note. If you think that these guys are going to allow you and I, the average Joe, to have an IQ over 1,000 with their technology, you're showing your low IQ. They're going to reserve this for themselves, including this next one. Now, this is the really big one they're working on. Not just super well-being or health, super intelligence, but the third one is super longevity. This is the big one. This is their big rebellious plan because they believe with their science and technology as transhumanists, they'll be able to transcend death, that they can somehow cheat God. And they don't need God. They don't need Jesus. They're going to create their own immortality, living forever with science and technology. Okay, they don't without God or Jesus. Now, the Bible actually describes a place living forever without God. It's called hell. Okay, hello. You don't want to be a part of that reality. But that's not stopping these guys. In fact, it's become their, speaking of we don't need God or Jesus anymore, it's their new religion. In fact, they even use our terms. One of these outfits thinking they're going to cheat death and live forever, they actually call it the Church of Perpetual Life. Watch this.
We're here at the Church of Perpetual Life, the world's first transhumanist church. The parishioners here call themselves immortalists. They believe that science and technology are the key to extending human life with the ultimate goal of immortality, physical immortality.
Who says I have to die? Death is horror. It shouldn't happen to anybody. It's not natural to die.
We feel the Creator intended for mankind to develop these technologies that will result in humans living for indefinite time periods. We are fighting against involuntary death and view immortality as the ultimate solution to every problem mankind faces.
Forever dumb is more like it because, folks, this ain't ever going to happen. God's not going to allow it, and you're going to see that in just a second. But as you can see, I'm not making this up, folks. It's become their new religion outside of God and Jesus Christ. a transhumanist church celebrating through science and technology they're going to somehow live forever without the need of bowing a knee before Jesus. But you might be thinking, how are they going to pull this off? How are these guys going to practically, supposedly, through science and technology, live forever? Well, we deal with this in great detail in our documentary. I'm just going to hit some highlights for the sake of time. The first method is a head-to-head transfer. They literally believe right before they die, they're going to sever their head, and then a fresh young body, they sever that head, and they just pop their head onto that new body. No joke, I could show you tapes. That's one of their plans to, quote, keep living forever. The second one is the mind to cyborg. And they say that before their body dies, they're going to download the contents of the brain and re-upload it into a cyborg half-man, half-machine scenario. The third one is a clone transfer. And these guys, again, believe they're going to download the contents of the brain and re-upload it specifically into a clone of themselves that's ready to go of them and their previous body. And if you think that that's not a reality, unfortunately, cloning did not stop with Dolly the sheep. It's continued on, including, I've got the goods, you can see that in the documentary, human cloning. These guys are sick, and I could give you examples of Hollywood movies. They're preparing us for that reality as well. But the other one, I would say is probably the more popular one, is what I call the mind to machine or mind to avatar. Avatar. Very interesting that that's made a recent reboot. But this is the idea, again, where they say that we're going to download the contents of the brain, and it's not going into a clone. It's not going into a cyborg. It's going into the computer. And it's going to live inside of a computer, and you get to live forever that way. And then that way, you can only live forever, but you can be whatever you want to be. I'm not joking. Let me give you a couple examples of that. Mind trip, humans to live forever by, oh, hey, there's that date again. 2030, the Great Reset, which is also a human reset. By 2030, as person's consciousness could be uploaded to computer. And I quote, here's what it says. Hey, want to live forever? According to some of the leading minds in the world, we should be able to have the capability to upload a person's consciousness in the computer very soon. This would allow the human mind to live on in a virtually created world after the body has died, even interacting with other uploaded consciousness on the server. And people are buying into it. Watch this. Can you become virtually immortal? A Silicon Valley company thinks so. And I quote from this article. They aim to let you store your memories and your personality in a digital form, quote, past your physical expiration date, also known as death. They hope to have digital versions of your personality that will be able to communicate from the grave. And they say that their service will be like a library that has people instead of books. So crack open your MacBook and hey, there's your old pal George from the bar around the corner. He's been saved in exact digital detail for you to enjoy while his body gets eaten up by insects. Quote, more than 31,000 people have already signed up to have their identity uploaded into the cloud. And by the way, speaking of which, Ray Kurzweil, this guy here, big transhumanist, been working for decades for Google. He says this, and I quote, it is a conservative estimate to say that by 2025, we will be able to look inside your brain, copy down every detail, and reinstantiate that in a neural computer and create a copy of the thinking process that takes place in your brain. In other words, according to him, Ray Kurzweil, he says they've already got the technology. And Hollywood is been out there for many years brainwashing the masses into thinking, you don't need God, you don't need Jesus. Join us on this transhumanist rebellion train, and you could upload yourself into a computer existence and live forever without God. Let me give you some of those propaganda examples. Watch this.
It's radiation poisoning. The bullet must have been laced with it. The effect is irreversible.
Will's body is dying, but his mind is a pattern of electrical signals. We can upload his consciousness. We can save him.
Not like this. Assuming that this works, if we missed anything, a thought, a childhood memory, how will you know who you're dealing with?
Evelyn.
Oh my God.
I can't feel anything.
I'm here.
You need to get me online. I need more power.
It may be intelligent. It may even be sentient. This is not well.
Shut it down.
Shut it down? It's him!
Your friend crossed the line.
They don't know the danger.
This is astounding.
So how do we fight it?
You can't. An AI is like any intelligence. It has needs.
The real will die.
It'll start to evolve.
Where's the machine?
To influence. Perhaps the entire world.
Where are you going?
Everywhere.
Normal. How you feeling, Jake?
Hey, guys. Welcome to your new body, Jake.
Good.
We're gonna take this nice and easy, Jake.
And touch your thumb to your fingers?
Yeah.
Thumb to your fingers.
No problem.
That's good. I can see you can remember that one.
Got it.
Well, if you want to sit up, that's fine.
Okay, good. Just take it nice and slow, Jake. Good. Okay, well, no truncal ataxia. That's good.
Are you feeling lightheaded or dizzy at all? Are you wiggling your toes?
Good, Jake. Distal motor control is good. Good,
Are
Jake.
You feeling any numbness or pain?
That's great, Jake.
Whoa.
Hold on now. Don't take it easy. Don't get ahead of yourself, okay? There's a few more sensory motor reflex tests we need to run to take it easy.
Wait. Jake.
Listen to me.
Whoa.
Jake. I need you to sit down. Jake.
It's okay.
Buddy, listen to me.
It's all good. I got this.
Jake, you need to sit down. Right
guys,
now.
Get him back on the gurney now.
Listen to me. I'm safe. You need to sit down. You need time to adjust to the atmosphere. Jake, watch it. Jake, sedate. 1,000 milligrams of cefepime. Stop.
Guys. Whoa.
By the numbers.
Jake. Listen to me. You're not used to your avatar body.
This is dangerous.
This is great.
His vitals are dropping. We're losing him.
Do we really want to upload?
We could be together forever.
You're so amazing. But forever is just like so long.
Uploads that way, OR's the other way. What do you want to do?
3, 2, 1. Upload. Hello, Nathan. 10 fingers and toes?
Pretty seamless.
This is the first day of the rest of your afterlife.
You may find yourself living in a beautiful house.
Cool.
Welcome to Lakeview. Uplifting views, timeless Americana.
Yes. It's 10 a.m. Breakfast is over.
No! It's not even real food!
New guy coming through.
This one.
Do I dare?
Dare.
Cute.
I think he's cute.
You may ask yourself, how did I get here?
Denied. In-app purchase required.
Is this what you look like for real? You're not some old dude or something?
No, this is me.
You're a little cutie.
So I understand you were in a bad place yesterday. It's only weird if you make it weird.
You're dead, man. What's up?
There's a guy I might like.
What's he do?
He's in computers.
You know you can walk on water whenever you want.
No way.
About as blunt of a title as you can get it, Upload. It's a perfect propaganda for this transhumanist pipe dream that you are going to cheat death. And by the way, that imagery there at the end is not by chance. They're walking on water, hello, like you think you're Jesus. And again, it's total rebellion, folks. But I will tell you this, they're not just brainwashing people, but they're in for a rude awakening. Because the Bible is very clear, you are not in control of your eternal destiny as far as you get to escape death. You're not going to escape death. It's going to happen, right? And the Bible is very clear about that. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die how many times? One time. And what happens after that? Here comes your judgment. If anybody leaves this planet without asking Jesus Christ to save them and forgive them, the moment you take your last breath here, you're not going into a cyborg. You're not going into the computer. you're going to be standing before God. In fact, Hebrews or Job 14:5 says, you have decided, God, the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. These guys are in for a rude awakening. You're born on time, you're going to die on time. God is the one who's the author and finisher of life, not you. You can claim to be the new gods of the planet all you want. You're not God. You never will be. And you can say you have God-like powers, but nobody can be like God, the author of life. Now, here's my whole point. I don't doubt these guys can download bits and bytes of information from a person's brain. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that they're going to try to upload that into a scenario. But they're going to end up with a freakish Frankenstein thing, right? Because the moment these people die, they're going to be standing before God. And if Jesus is not their savior, which it isn't, in this case, they say they don't need him, they're going straight to hell. And so here's my point. In their download, they can get bits and bytes of information, but one thing they will never be able to download is the human soul. That soul will be before God and then thrown into their destiny based on what they did with Jesus. And so that means what kind of freakish thing is going to be uploaded into the cloud, into the computer, into the clone, into it. Folks, it is not going to go well. And Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. But here's my point. All of this is what Jesus said would happen, would appear across the planet just in time for him to come back at the second coming. Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of what? Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The sin of turning humans into non-humans from the days of Noah is being repeated today. They've just changed the terminology. They don't use the word Nephilim, but it's the same agenda. That's what's behind this transhumanism, these transhumanists, okay? It's a repeat of the days of Noah. Now, here's my whole point. These guys are completely surrounding Donald Trump. And they are meeting, not just individually, but as a group. I'll show you here in a second. At the White House. They're all meeting together. And I'm going, man, I wish I was a fly on the wall. What are you transhumanists talking about with President Trump? Okay, and again, these are not just transhumanists. These are the most powerful, richest transhumanists on the planet. So let's start going down the list, okay? The first one is Elon Musk. Elon Musk, there's no doubt he's a transhumanist because he makes transhumanist statements all the time. As you can see here, watch this.
You know, that's what Neuralink is about, is like, can we go along for the ride with AI? I mean, I really think that there should be other companies like Neuralink, essentially to create a high bandwidth interface to the brain. Because right now, we are already a cyborg. People don't realize we are already a cyborg because we are so well integrated with our phones and our computers. The phone is almost like an extension of yourself. If you forget your phone, it's like a missing limb.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs on the medical front, particularly around synthetic mRNA. You can basically do anything with synthetic RNA, DNA. It's like a computer program. So, I mean, I think with enough with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. You can basically do anything. You can turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence.
So, what? We are already cyborgs? Already cyborgs? We're going to live forever? We're going to reduce, stop aging? We're going to be able to, with this mRNA technology, we're going to tap into the human DNA. We were going to have the ability to turn people into a butterfly. What's that? Folks, that's called a non-human. Elon Musk is one of the most powerful transhumanists on the planet. But so is this guy, Peter Thiel. And again, he's now best buds with Trump. As a side note, we cover this in great detail in our documentary. He's also the one who bankrolled J.D. Vance's political career. And I quote, J.D. Vance and Peter Thiel, what to know about the relationship between Trump's VP pick and the billionaire. He's the one who got J.D. Vance his political career. Before Trump was there as well. And so you wonder why Trump picked him as his VP, because Peter Thiel is the one in the second term helping and supporting with buku bucks the Trump second administration. But then you pick J.D. Vance's handpicked political guy, J.D., or you pick Peter Thiel's political guy, J.D. Vance. And so, folks, it's all working together. But here's my point. Peter Thiel is a huge transhumanist. Watch this.
The French playwright Eugène Ionesco once asked, "Why was I born if it wasn't forever?" But life, if anything, is impermanent. Flowers die, stars die, and you will die. Many people, especially the ultra-wealthy in Silicon Valley, are investing money into companies trying to answer exactly those questions. Richest man in the world Jeff Bezos and billionaire PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel have both invested in the space. In 2013, Google formed aging research company Calico. There's also BioAge, BioViva, the longevity fund AgeX, the Methuselah Foundation, and many others.
Whenever you meet a fundamental human need, there's a market. And in this case, the market for age-related disease and aging is a $1 trillion market.
Billionaire Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison has donated hundreds of millions of dollars to aging research. Bulletproof founder Dave Asprey has spent more than $1 million hacking his own biology.
I, right now, am expecting to live to about 180. I think that's very achievable, assuming a truck doesn't hit me.
The arrogance, man. And that's probably exactly what's going to happen, because guess what? You're not in control. God is. But that leads us to the third one. Trump's also surrounded by this guy, Jared Kushner. I wish I had an opportunity to go down deep on his involvement with the treaties and what's going on with Israel. That's for a whole other study, let alone documentary. But Jared Kushner, he clearly, too, is a transhumanist, because he makes statements like this. This is mind-blowing. Watch this.
The one thing I've tried to put a priority on since I left the White House was, you know, getting some exercise in. I think that there's a good probability that my generation is, hopefully with the advances in science, either, you know, the first generation to live forever or the last generation that's going to die. And so we need to keep ourselves in pretty good shape.
Okay. Your generation is the first generation to live forever? Folks, he's a transhumanist, plain as day. It comes right out of their mouth, including this guy. He's also at the White House, as you can see him there. That's Jeff Bezos, there next to his new wife. He's the, of course, founder of Amazon, one of the richest people on the planet. And he, too, is a transhumanist. He has made significant investments in a company called Altos Labs. That's his company that exists. Why? It researches reversed aging, extending human lifespan, and human augmentation. There's that term again. When we're done with you, you're no longer going to be a human. And again, he was the one behind the Amazon Upload propaganda film. So he's clearly a transhumanist as well, including this guy also at the White House, Mark Zuckerberg. He's a huge transhumanist. And I quote, how Musk, Thiel, Zuckerberg, how these guys address this issue from this article about creating an alternate autocratic reality. Four very powerful billionaires are creating a world where nothing is true and all is spectacle. It's called Web3, a virtual world, you may have heard of it, the metaverse, which allows humans to live for several lifetimes, migrate to other planets, merge our brains with computers so that our individual consciousness can live forever. That's what he's all about, folks, creating this new universe, this computer existence where you can live forever. That's straight up transhumanism. But here he is, Mark Zuckerberg, introducing you to this new immortal reality. Watch this.
Today, we're going to talk about the metaverse. I want to share what we imagine is possible. Imagine you put on your glasses or headset and you're instantly in your home space. It has parts of your physical home recreated virtually, it has things that are only possible virtually, and it has an incredibly inspiring view of whatever you find most beautiful.
Hey, are you coming?
Yeah, just gotta find something to wear. All right, perfect.
Boy.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Hi, Mark.
What's up, Mark?
Whoa, we're floating in space?
Uh-huh.
Who made this place? It's awesome.
Right? It's from a crater I met in L.A.
This place is amazing.
Boz, is that you?
Of course it's me. You know I had to be the robot, man.
I thought I was supposed to be the robot.
There you go, folks. Call it what it is. You call it metaverse all you want, but what is it? Be who you want to be. Live forever in this new digital universe that Zuckerberg is creating. Folks, that's transhumanism 101. The other ones, the 6th and 7th, I'll pair them because these are the co-founders of Google, huge transhumanists, Sergey Brin and Larry Page. Sergey there is on the right side there. Also, you could see Larry Page. He's on the left side there, one, two, three people down. But they're at the White House all the time, meeting together with Trump. And both of them are clearly transhumanists. They've started a company called Calico. And you can see there how Google plans to keep you alive longer. Tech giant finances Calico to search for the fountain of youth. They also admit this, Google Calico and a brief history of the what? Immortality business. Okay? And here they are pitching it to the average Joe. Watch this.
Those who work with seniors like to say 85 plus is the new 60, thanks to better nutrition, exercise, and health care. Google would like to see more people live longer, and that's the reason why it's going to start Calico.
I could rustle them up a focus group of people 95 to 100 that I think could contribute a lot to, if that is their endeavor, and that's the focus, is to increase the quality of life for seniors, who better to talk to than the people they're actually targeting.
88-year-old Mary Bell Johnson finds this new Google initiative very unusual.
Yes, it is very unusual. And I think it's wonderful.
Google has named Dr. Arthur Levinson to be Calico's CEO. He is chairman of the board of Genentech and Apple. Levinson is also an investor in Calico. Google declined an interview and won't answer how much it will invest or how many people will be hired. However, experts hope Calico will delve into the social and ethical issues of extending life, such as seniors running out of money and providing more years of assisted living.
Now, folks, that's clearly transhumanism. I think they're going to somehow extend life, live forever. This is Google, Calico. This is their company. It's not a conspiracy theory. But if you think, I'll just say this as a side note, that the average Joe, certainly the elderly, are going to get access to this, you're fooling yourself. Their mindset when it comes to the elderly who are not a part of their camp, the elite, you need to be gotten rid of. It's sick, it's satanic, but that's who these guys are. The 8th transhumanist, as you can see, also at the White House, is Tim Cook. Tim Cook took over for Steve Jobs, and he is the CEO of Apple. He's also openly gay, and most people don't realize that the LGBT movement merges perfectly with transhumanism. They need each other because they both brainwash people into thinking you could be whatever you want, and their science and technology will make that happen. And I quote, let's take a look at this. The future of the LGBT movement may involve transhumanism. Now, listen from this article why they say not only the LGBT movement merges perfectly with transhumanism, but they predict what kind of a future we're headed for. Watch this. In the future, transhumanist technology and science will complement the LGBT movement and help push it forward in the face of continued social oppression and closed-mindedness. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that the LGBT movement and transhumanism have a lot in common. Nearly all transhumanists support the LGBT cause. Why? Because after all, the desire to be free, to alter, to express, to control one's sexual preference and identity, that's a transhumanist concept. They can work together to better achieve their goals. And this is a quote, watch this, take cyber sex and virtual reality, for example, which will allow people from all corners of the world to have group sex if they want. Or what about fembots or sex bots, which is already a growing $100 million market? Do we give them rights? Can we marry them? What if they're gay? What if we program them to not know if they're gay or not? And furthermore, parents may choose to have designer babies without certain sexual organs. I mean, some religions, Roman Catholicism, may encourage some males to be born with genetically lowered sex drives so they may have a better chance at becoming celibate priests. Such actions may lead to a society where, watch this, male and female traits disappear altogether as pleasure becomes on demand and gene therapy is able to combine the most functional parts of both genders into one entity. Quote, not surprisingly, some institutions like marriage may end up going the way of the dinosaurs. And you wonder why Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back and put a stop to all this. Which leads us to the ninth transhumanist surrounding Trump. And this is Sam Altman. And again, we had a whole documentary with him on the Stargate program. That was the announcement there that he's heading up this mega increase of the Stargate AI program, which again, we did a whole documentary on there, as you can see. But he's a transhumanist through and through, not just a tech mogul. And that's very apparent. Quote, get ready for AI religions, Sam Altman, transhumanism, and the merge. The post is alarming because Altman doesn't sound like he's talking about a technology. He sounds like he's talking about a new god. In fact, we got the battle of the transhumanists here. U.S. billionaires Sam Altman, Elon Musk are in a race to what? Integrate tech into human bodies. Okay. And I quote, they are advocating the transhumanist belief that it is possible to reach immortality by transferring consciousness into machines via brain-computer interfaces. AI implants, genetic engineering, and mind uploading could fundamentally alter what it means to be human. That's a direct quote. Again, it's a transhumanist concept. And finally, the 10th one, and by the way, this isn't all of them, but I call it the 10 big ones that are surrounding Trump, is this guy, Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison, again, is heading up the AI Stargate program. Again, Trump's first day in office. But he, too, with Sam Altman and the rest of the guys, is clearly a transhumanist, okay, in a huge, big way. He has donated over $370 million to longevity research, okay. He has started his own medical foundation, as you can see there, the Ellison Medical Foundation. Oh, he's going to help people with broken bones, they get in car accidents, they get sick. No. And I quote, it is focused on the biology of aging and age-related diseases with the primary goal of understanding the process that controls lifespan. In a 2003 interview, Ellison spoke candidly about his, watch this, aversion to the idea of death. He told his biographer, Mike Wilson, quote, death has never made any sense to me. I mean, how can a person be there and just vanish? Just not there. This personal sentiment is often cited as motivation for his funding of anti-aging scientists. Now, speaking of anti-aging, living forever with science and technology, here's a picture of Larry Ellison. Alrighty. Larry Ellison is almost 82 years old. Does he look 82 to you? My theory is, hey, Larry must be using some of this technology on himself already. Okay. But here he is, Larry Ellison, admitting his involvement in this rebellious transhumanist agenda. Watch this.
Thank you, Mr. President. One of the most exciting things we're working on, using the tools that Sam and Masa are providing, is a cancer vaccine. It's very interesting. It turns out, I'll be quick, all of our cancers, cancer tumors, little fragments of those tumors float around in your blood. So you can do early cancer detection. If you can do it using AI, you can do early cancer detection with a blood test. And using AI to look at the blood test, you can find the cancers that are actually seriously threatening the person. So we can, again, cancer diagnosis using AI has the promise of just being a simple blood test. Then beyond that, once we gene sequence that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
Yeah, and their future, whether you want it or not. Anybody going to take an mRNA vaccine that these guys whipped up in just 2 days? I'm not. How'd that last one go? They had more than 2 days. How's that one working out? It's still killing people. And again, as Elon Musk admitted, the mRNA technology is not a vaccine. It's a gene editor, which means they're editing people's genes without their permission, because they're not telling people that that's not a vaccine, it's a gene editor. This is sick, folks. But this is what's going on, folks. And here's my point. The biggest, most powerful guys pushing everything we just saw, this transhumanist agenda, turning humans into non-humans, whether we want it or not, they are completely surrounding Trump. That's why I call this Trump and the transhumanist kingdom. And all of it is a repeat of the days of Noah, because their agenda is, we're going to turn humans into non-humans. This is serious stuff. Hardly anybody is talking about it, okay? And it's no joke. And again, that's in America, right? But wait a second. If this is going to spread across all of humanity like the days of Noah, then that means this whole transhumanist mindset, turning humans into non-humans, living forever without God, blah, 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 that's going to have to permeate across the planet. Yeah. I don't have time to share with you, unfortunately, how virtually every developed country on the planet is also pushing this agenda. But I'll give you two big ones. Talk about a hot mic. It was still on when Putin and Xi recently met. And of all things to come out of their mouth was the transhumanist agenda. I am not joking. Even Russia and China are pushing this agenda. Watch this. Okay. Now, just in case, I want to make sure you guys get this. If you weren't able to read the lettering at the bottom of that video, let me quote it for you. Xi says to Putin, before it was said to be very rare to live up to 70, and now it's said that you're still a child at 70. Putin pipes in and responds, in a few decades, as biotechnology continues to develop, human organs will continue to be transplanted and people will become younger and perhaps even achieve immortality. And so then Xi replies, some predict that within this century, it may be possible, maybe able to live up to 150 years old. Transhumanism, the return of the days of Noah, it's not just here. Folks, it's all over the world, just in time for the return of Jesus Christ. This is huge, folks. And the White House is surrounded by them. That's why Jesus said, freak out and run to the hills. No, he didn't. Luke 21:28, he said, when these things begin to take place, you need to stand up, lift up your heads. Why? Because your redemption is drawing near. Christian, we don't freak out on this news. We take this as God's loving reminder that our departure, the rapture, is near. If this is what's needed to permeate the planet, the days of Noah, in order for Jesus to come back, as he said, as a sign at his second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation, hey, man, that just speeds up the clock for us. That means we're almost out of here. So we need to finish strong. We need to get the gospel out. Folks, again, I encourage you, get the study in its detail. Make a billion copies of the DVDs. We don't care. Everyone's got the gospel on it. Get it out to the lost. Your friends, your families. Let's do what we can to share God's truth. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. And we're the mouth. We're the feet. As Paul says, how beautiful are those who the feet of those who bring the good news. We got to bring the good news. That's how we finish. Okay. But if you're watching this and you're still not saved, I'll say it again. What are you waiting for? How much more proof does God got to give you? Man, we are in the last days. The rapture is imminent, and you do not want to be left behind because this is going to spread across the planet. And I believe it's part of why Jesus said it's the worst time in the history of mankind. If God didn't keep it to just 7 years, Jesus said the entire human race would be destroyed. Yeah, if these guys have their way, they ain't going to be humans left. This is no joke. Okay, turn to Jesus today. Ask him to save you and forgive you. Trust that it was his death and his death alone on the cross that will allow you to be cleansed and forgiven of your sins. The Bible says if you confess Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Take the way out, the one and only way out, through Jesus Christ today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for our study, and just thank you for encouraging us, your church, to get busy. That's really what this is. The rapture is closer than it's ever been before, and all these prophecy signs we saw over the last three studies is just really driving it home. Turn on the TV, it's all happening. But we're not going to be in the seven-year tribulation as your people. You have not appointed us unto wrath. We'll never be there. But you tell us so much detail so that we would develop a heart of compassion and warn those around us who are in danger of being left behind because they're not saved and who may very well find themselves in this time frame. And not just hell on earth for 7 years, but hell forever. So help us, God, as your people, to be the greatest evangelists in the history of the church, certainly in these last days. May we respond appropriately to your word today. But again, God, if there's anybody watching online that's not truly saved, please save them even now. This is no joke. It's not a game. Please turn to Jesus today. Take the way out before it's too late. But thank you, God, for your word today. Please bless it to these lives that belong to you. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Well, again, hey, folks, just want to encourage you, Get a Life Church. As the remnant out there around the world, not only myself, but you, as God's people, let's get out there this week. You just got equipped in God's word. I'm doing my part as your shepherd, getting you equipped for the ministry. And so go out there, wherever you're at in the world, share the good news of the gospel, lead souls to them. And then guess what? If they get saved, praise God. Now you got a place to take them to get discipled, a safe place, Get a Life Church. Join us, Lord willing, next week. Or if you're out there in the world and you find another remnant believer like yourself, now you got a church to go to. Bring them to Get a Life Church, fellowship together. I get the privilege of being your shepherd. Thank you for that. As we work together, making a world of difference for Jesus in these last days, let's keep it up. Keep up the good work until we see you, Lord willing, again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he give you his peace. God bless. See you next time. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.